Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. I think this will be the last Wednesday night we walk through the valley of dry bones together. And then we'll go on to some other things. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. And we're going to focus in, kind of jump right in where we left off without a whole lot of review, because there's a lot of material I want to cover tonight. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Ezekiel 37 and verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Heavenly Father, thank you for the things that you've taught us and reminded us of as we've studied, Lord, this chapter and this amazing vision that was given to the prophet Ezekiel. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be better for you, maybe have a little bit more of a biblical understanding of what you're trying to accomplish through the local New Testament church. And may we, Lord, not do a thing in our lives that would hinder or hold that back, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Just real quickly, we spent the first Wednesday night of the three that we've set aside to teach through this vision. We taught on the prophet of the valley. We saw that the prophet Ezekiel was called of God. The hand of the Lord was upon him. He was spirit controlled. He had been given a vision, and then he was commanded to preach to the bones. And we did a study on what type of preaching he preached, what type of message he brought. And then we switched the second week and from the prophet of the valley and focused on the bones of the valley. And we talked about two things. We gave you two things that we covered: the bones' responsibility to respond to the preaching, and then bones and their need to unify as they respond to the preaching. Now, that's as much review as I'm going to do, because we got a lot of material to go into today, and hopefully that caught you up a little bit. So we're studying the bones, them dry bones, and we're going to see that by the end of the Bible study tonight, they are going to be a breathing, living, marching, great army. And let me say this, that's what God wants the churches, the local churches across this nation to be. The devil, I want you to be thinking about this. I'm going to conclude it and summarize it and bring to conclusion, I think, our thoughts on all of this. But you know what? The devil also knows the plan of God. And it's amazing, as we chronicle how God wants to put together an army, you can list attacks, ways Satan attacks every single element of what God is trying to do through the local assemblies. And so be aware of that. Be careful about that. Don't just decide you're going to get your own idea of how things are supposed to be. Be a part of what's going on. Be a part of what God's trying to put together here. And keep your heart open to that, okay? Number three, what about the bones? Well, we talked about their need to respond and their need to unify as they respond to the preaching. Number three, the bones need to be properly, here's the word for the next point, organized. The bones need to be properly organized as they began to respond and unify. So as the bones begin to respond, and by the way, just response to preaching alone isn't enough. I mean, I could take you to some services. I could take you to some churches where there's more hooping and hollering and running in circles during a preaching than you've ever seen. But you know what? There's not unity, and there's not organization, and there's not an army. You know what? There's just emotionalism. So just response isn't enough. I can show you churches that are unified, but they're not unified in response to the preaching. Matter of fact, I can show you some churches that are unified in resistance to the preaching. You know, unity ought to be a byproduct of responding properly to Bible preaching. If we're all responding properly to Bible preaching, and if the preaching is Bible preaching, and then it ought to bring us all together in a unified manner to do something for the Lord. And so we see the importance of response and unity, but the next thing is organization. This isn't a bad word, by the way. Notice what the Bible says here. It says that, let me go back to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. There's the unity. Notice the next phrase, though. Bone to what? Bone to his bone. Now, listen very carefully, folks, because all of these things are happening. These first three things are happening to the response of preaching. And I want to just take a moment. I'm going to spend a lot of time on this. But it's very, very important that the local assembly is organized. Is organized. Organization's not a bad thing. I had a man stop me this week. I'm going to go into a whole lot of detail. But I was uptown. He stopped me, and he began to ask questions about the church. And he had come and visited here once before. He said, I really like your church. I want to go there. But he said, I noticed that things were run. Your order of service seems to be very well planned out, all of that. And he said, what if I just decided that I wanted to say something, the Spirit was leading me, and I could I just get up sometime and start sharing that? And I looked at him and I said, no. No. And he just kind of looked shocked. And he said, well, that's the only thing that's really held me back from going to your church. He said, the church I go to, before I make a switch, he said, I like your church, I like the preaching, but he said, at the church I go to, he said, if anybody at any time just feels like the Spirit is leading them to say something, they just get up and say it. And I said, I want you to listen very carefully. I said, I want to ask you something. I said, you be truthful with me. You swear you'll be truthful with me. He said, yes. I said, I want to know how many people have been saved in your church in the last 6 months. Boy, he just blinked and blinked and blinked. And I said, listen to me. That is not the Spirit. Because God is not the author of confusion. And God said in the church house, by the way, there was confusion in the church of Corinth. That's why you find these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the tongues was causing the confusion. That's why you find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Two verses. God is not the author of confusion, and let all things be done decently and in order. Listen, organization and order is proper. It is evidence of the Spirit. This idea that the Spirit is leading people just to pop off and jump. Listen, let me tell you what's leading them to do that. I'm going to say it. Pride. I want people to hear me. What I got to say is just important, what he has to say. And I said all these things I'm saying to you to him. And I said, you know what? People don't want to look at it. They don't want to listen to it. But I said, you go back and you read it and you study it. I said, from the time God spoke the creation into order, everything God has ever done has followed a precise order. And so, folks, organization's not a bad thing. People in the church house, please listen to me. Too many Christians in the church house reflect the mentality of the Jews in the book of Judges, where every man wanted to do that which was. And you know what? You are never going to accomplish through the assembly what God intended to accomplish as long as everybody's a rogue, everybody's a lone ranger, everybody's got their own plan, everybody's got their own philosophy, and nobody will be a part of anything unless they get to run it. We're dead. We're dead. Church will accomplish nothing. And so some of this junk needs to be thrown out of your mind, out of your mentality, out of your philosophy. You did not get that from the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit does not say, don't be a part of the assembly. Don't join in the assembly. You know what the Holy Spirit does? We're seeing it in here. The preaching goes forth. There's response to preaching. Everybody comes in and unifies, but they unify in an organized manner, bone to his bone. Now listen very carefully, folks. I'm going to give you just a few things on this, and then we've got two other things to cover. So I'm not going to belabor it, but boy, this is important. Organization, the placing of the bones into proper sequence so the body can function without handicap. Make sense? Okay? Now listen to me.
One of the great challenges of leadership, and I'm going to talk to me for a minute. One of the great challenges of leadership is to organize the ministry in such a way that the body can achieve full effectiveness. Organization must always start at the top. Let me say this with no apology. It is the pastor's job to assign duties within the local assembly. It's the pastor's job. You notice we didn't vote on who's going to be the piano player this year. We didn't do that. We didn't vote on Sunday school teacher. Are you listening to me? Okay. Organization must always start at the top. It is the pastor's job to assign duties within the local assembly. Now, it's leadership's job to disciple and provide discipleship and training opportunities to determine the congregation's number one willingness to learn. You know why I plan a lot of training opportunities? Just see if he'll show up. I'm giving away my secrets tonight. You know what Jesus did? He walked to men and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Right? He didn't plead and beg or listen to excuses or say, "Well, I'm sorry, can I do it a different time so it'll fit your schedule better?" He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." You know what? They forsook whatever they had to forsake to follow, to learn what he knew. But we've got a pride about us, an arrogance about us. We don't need to learn anything. We don't need to follow leadership. So you provide discipleship and training opportunities, number one, just to see who'll show up, who has a willingness to try to learn, and number two, to identify spiritual gifts. What's the job of leadership? To provide the congregation trained, able men, humble, spirit-filled, properly trained men to lead in different aspects of church ministry. And so that's the challenge to leadership is, and responsibility that comes with it is to try to properly fit the bones together so that the army works, okay? And so now, here's the great challenge of fellowship. All right, put your seatbelt on, just okay? Number one, come to grips with who you were made to be. Come to grips with who you were made to be. If you're a thigh bone, but you don't want to be in that spot. Well, I'm not going to be a part if I can't be a finger bone. That's the problem you've got. Okay? Well, I'm going to be the head, or I'm not going to do it. If I can't be the head, I'm not going to do it. That's the problem you have. And what you're doing is you're handicapping the local assembly. Okay? So you need to come to grips with who you were made to be. There's some folks that just can't, they're never content following. They always think they know more than the person that's in charge. They spend more time causing problems when I put them into a place than they do helping to be a blessing just because they've always got to be a better idea. Brother Don one time said they all ought to be called Ford. Name those people Ford. Ford had a better idea. No matter what you do, they want to come to you and say, "Hey, you know what? You know what? I've been thinking about..." No one asks you to think. No, this is good. A little double dose of humility is good every once in a while. This may shock you, but we actually think it out ahead of time. And I got to spend 50% of my time sitting down trying to explain to somebody why I want it done a certain way, which I don't mind doing to a certain extent. But some people, no matter how you explain it, they just still think that they, "Well, okay, but I just still think." Well, then go pastor a church. Go put a for sale sign in your front yard. Sell your property. Take your family. Pack them off to Bible college. Pay the price. Get a degree. Go out. And take a church, and you know what? You're going to get the same group of people you are. Okay? God's going to make sure you pastor you. All right. So come to grips with who you were made to be. Folks, listen to me. "Well, I'll do it if I think that's what I..." No. Why don't you trust your pastor? This is going to shock some of you, but I know some of you better than you know yourselves. I've got a better overview of what this ministry needs and where you would best fit than you do. Okay, I'm already this deep. I'm going to keep going. God will give me wisdom He'll never give you. Because you don't need it. It is right. And if we get it, listen, Blessed Hope's going to end up in 20 years doing nothing if we don't root some of this out of some of your hearts. And stop raising your kids with the same mentality. You're dooming the next generation. You're dooming the next pastor. Okay? Now, you know what I did? And I want you to listen to me. I'm not just flying off the cuff here. I pass out ministry survey sheets. I want to know what you want to do. When people join the church, I give them that to have them fill it out. I would rather put somebody in a place they would like to be than some place they wouldn't like to be. But you have to understand that sometimes what we imagine we're good at, we're not. Okay, I'm smart enough to know that I probably shouldn't be doing solos here. Okay, I mean, come on. You know, you don't have to have a soloist voice to join the choir. But are you listening to me? What I'm saying is we've got a bunch of AWOL bones. And come to grips. God created you to be something. Bone to His bone. Now, listen to this. You're going to have to also lose the pride and ego that drives you to be a body, to want to be a body, and prevents you from understanding you're to be part of a body. There's Christians who don't want to be a bone. But God made you to be a bone. Again, that's something that Paul had to deal with in dealing with the church of Corinth, this carnal church. He said, you're all part of a body. You're not a body, you're part of a body. And so lose the pride and ego that drives you to always have to be the thing and start being a part of the assembly. Number three, here's something else, the great challenge of fellowship. Learning to work with those who you are connected with so that the body functions efficiently. Now notice, every bone had to go into his bone. Okay, every single part of the body of Christ is connected to some other part of the body of Christ. And those connection points is where the friction is. Okay? If you are my age or older, you're getting aches and pains. And let me tell you where most of them start. In the joints. Where the bones meet. I've got right now, I'm in the beginning stages of not enough to complain. What I have is called traveling pains. Those of you in your 40s, early 50s, you know what that is. It means every morning you get up and you just kind of try everything out. And that day, maybe the wrist hurts and you don't even really know why. But don't worry, tomorrow it won't hurt. It will move. It'll travel. During the night, while you're sleeping, you'll wake up and all of a sudden the next day your wrist is fine. That's kind of weird. But your knee hurts. And then you'll go to sleep and you'll wake up and all of a sudden, you know, this shoulder. Well, what did I... You're trying to think what you did. And they just travel. Now, what happens when you turn 60, from what people are telling me, is they stop traveling. They just settle in. Okay? They start homesteading in these different areas. Boy, you know what? Thank you, folks, for just encouraging me. I'm depressed enough turning 50. Some of you that are 60 and 70 got me so depressed. I'm praying God just takes me on home. I mean, I don't know if I'm tough enough to get old. But but that's where the pains start. Now let me help you with something. You know what? Christians in the local assembly are placed by God in that assembly, and guess what? One of the main things you have to work on all the time is developing the spirituality and the skill set to learn to get along with other people. Just get along with other people. If you're going to be active in church ministry, that means you're going to interact with other saints of God. With different personalities, different backgrounds, different growth levels. Okay? It's what it is. And I've watched Christians over the years go into something, have a little conflict, and their answer is, well, I'm just going to quit everything. And so I'll just be the lone bone because I can't seem to get along with, or they can't seem to get along with me. Okay? That's not the answer. You did not grow at all. You learned nothing. You know why conflict and problems happen? It's an opportunity for you to display the fruits of the Spirit in your life. Okay? It's a chance for God to hone you and make you. It's a chance for God to put you on the potter's wheel and get out some of the junk that's in the clay. Okay? And so at some point, you've got to learn the basic skill set of just how to get along with other people. Okay? And you're going to have all kinds of people and all kinds of personalities. Okay? And so that's the great challenge of fellowship. Okay? Organization. We've reorganized things. We will continue to reorganize things. We try something for a while, it works. Sometimes reorganization just brings a freshness, just brings an excitement, so we'll do the same thing a little bit different way. But no matter how many ways, you know, I had a preacher call me the other day and he said, Brother Ross, how have you organized your soul winning program to get more people to get involved? And I said, let me give you testimony, brother. I've reorganized the soul winning plan, both me and Dad, in the time I was here, probably 7-8 different ways. Listen, no matter how you reorganize it, the people that want to come, come, and the people that don't want to come, don't come. No matter how many times you reorganize it, the people that want to come, come, and the people that don't want to come, don't come. Do you understand the bones have a responsibility here? You can have the best organized plan. I think the way we've got it set up right now, there is no reason in the world that this isn't just working magnificently, except people will not come together. People will not show up. I mean, I've got it so that you don't even have to drive to the church. Most of you are within 2 or 3 miles of where somebody meets to go soul winning. But did it matter? Did it matter? Okay, it's Wednesday night crowd. We're all here. Okay. What are you going to do? Get mad and not come soul winning? I mean, I'm risking a lot. I'm telling you, here's the sad part. And you know what? The honest truth is, I'll stand here and give testimony. I've been around a little bit. This is a really, really, really above average church. And yet we're still having to deal with this. This ought to be something we've conquered a long time ago. Some of you, I'm not talking about brand new people that just come in and figuring things out. I'm talking about those of you who've been sitting in these pews 5, 6, 7 more years. Come on. Come on. At these regional visitation opportunities, there ought to be 25, 30 people at every one of them every week. Is there? Absolutely not. Okay. And, well, preacher, try something different. Well, I could reorganize it again if you want me to. But you understand that organization, it's here. If you're paying attention to what's going around here, organization's here. Opportunities are here. Please hear me. Some of you think I'm, but I want you to hear me because you're not hearing me. You're hearing your head, what the voice is in your head. You're not hearing me. But I organize Blessed Hope Baptist Church because that's where God called me. And by the way, you're here as a member, so you're telling me that's where God called you. That's what I organized. Now, if you want to run off and organize 5 or 6 things somewhere else, don't be mad at me for not showing up. My job is not to go to you and say, what have you organized that I need to participate in? Your job is to come to me and say, what have you organized, preacher, that we need to participate in? And until you get past that hurdle, the body of Christ here is going to be handicapped.
And that's why I said what I said last time I was preaching. Man, one of these days somewhere, if not here, God, somewhere, unbelievable, what would happen if you had a church of a couple hundred people that got what I'm preaching right now and just said, hey, I'll sign on to that. I'll just do that. I'll tell you what, let's just 100% put everything. Let's put all our chips in, everything. We'll just put everything in. Let's just do it. Let's just see what happens. The impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, folks, what the devil doesn't want, he doesn't want an army with the breath of God on them marching out those doors right there. So he attacks every element. He attacks response. He's got some of you convinced that it's a weakness if you respond to a message. I mean, you are adamantly against it in your life. Some of you are upset when the church gets too unified. Man, everybody's getting along, and everybody, man alive, we got to do something. They're all buying into this. What can we start? I mean, I got teenagers that have fought the fact that full revival would come to a youth group. When it starts coming, they panic. You know, think about it. Think about it. Are you excited when the church all comes together in one accord and does something? Are you aggravated because some of the ones that weren't now have started? Okay? Now think about these things. Let the Spirit of God in on this thing. So we talk about the organization. Number four, the bones begin. By the way, it's interesting. I want to read this. Or I want you to look at the verse because it's very interesting. So I prophesied as I was commanded and as I prophesied. So when Ezekiel starts prophesying, certain things are happening in response to the preaching. The noise, the shaking, bones coming together, bone to his bone. Noise, shaking, response, unity as a result of responding to the preaching of the Bible, organization, things coming into place. Now notice what it says in verse 8. I want you to see this. And when I what? Now what's so exciting about this is I did tell you the importance of preaching, and I will emphasize that again, that preaching is key in all of this. But there comes a time when, listen, response to preaching, unity as a response to the preaching of God's word, organization as a response to the preaching of God's word, and adopting in your life the vision of the prophet or the pastor that's been sent to you. But what's really neat is if you give me 100% response, 100% unity, and 100% involvement in organization, there comes a point in time where the prophet steps back and he stops preaching. And he says, lo, I beheld. Because some supernatural things start happening that is just unbelievable. So you just kind of sit back and go, wow, look at this. And what did he behold? Did you read it? I can't develop all of these thoughts tonight. And when I beheld, lo, the what? Sinews. You know what that is? What is it? Throw a word out there. Be brave. I like that. Muscles. All of a sudden, the people of God begin to get strong. The flesh, by the way, I'm going to help you with that one. If you look up that word, somebody, it's true. It means fatness. Now, fatness in this crazy society and culture of us is looked upon as some type of a whatever. But you know, in Bible days, that was prosperity. That was success. Amen. It was. And so all of a sudden you see, that's health. Folks, bulimic people are not healthy. Amen. Girls, please listen to me. These little skin and bone models are not healthy people. They're not. They're destroying their health to be that way. I'm not talking about somebody whose genetic makeup is that way. Some of our girls are. They're skin and bones around here. Don't worry, it'll catch up with you sooner or later. Amen. But
you know, we're so crazy. I could go off on that, but we're so nuts. What we've swallowed in this society as far as... Girls, don't get caught up in all that nonsense. Okay? But that's health. So all of a sudden, you got the preaching of the Bible. You got people responding. You've got unification coming through the response to the preaching of the Bible. And then you see organization, and people are slotting into where God has created them to be with the gifts they have. And then, all of a sudden, the congregation begins to supernaturally develop strength, supernaturally develop prosperity and health. And then the skin is the protection. By the way, you study it. God, when God put skin on us, He provided a miracle. And you know what the skin does? It protects. Your skin is your protection. And all of a sudden, there's a supernatural strength and a supernatural health and a supernatural protection that comes upon the assembly. Okay? And, I mean, you guys, it's amazing, you know? You buy a pair of gloves and wear them. Well, for instance, when I worked at the sawmill, I would buy, and I've tried every kind of pair of gloves you can buy. I spent big bucks once and bought the thickest leather gloves you can imagine. And in 5 days' time, me offloading, we used to cut mostly oak railroad ties along with other things, and me handling that oak board, in 5 days, that thickest leather glove I've ever been able to find, holes were worn all the way through it, both hands. And I looked around and noticed most of the guys didn't wear gloves. And I got to thinking, that's dangerous. If leather wears all the way through in 5 days, I won't have any skin left on my hand. You know, God created us in a remarkable way. I threw the gloves away and said, here we go. And guess what? The skin is not weakened, it gets tougher. We got a great creator. All right, we got a great creator. And so all of a sudden, these supernatural things that the prophet just steps back out of the way and starts watching God do as a result of these. But look, folks, notice this. This is a divine order. See, what we want is we want the strength and the health and the protection, but we don't want Bible preaching, response to Bible preaching, unity, or organization, involvement in organization. We just want a shortcut to the muscles and the skin and the flesh. It don't happen that way. If you follow God's formula, you get God's results. Okay? And so as the bones begin to receive strength and health and protection, listen, they do this as they respond and as they unify. Now, number five, let me give you this one. We're going to hurry through. Wow. Okay, they've got everything they need. They're standing there, but there's one thing they're missing. Notice the last phrase in verse 8. But there was no one. Then said he unto me. By the way, he's going to go back to preaching, which again emphasizes the importance of preaching. Man, don't ever let Satan minimize in your mind the importance of the teaching and preaching of the Bible. He said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came. You've got to just underline that, and the breath came. People always want to talk about revival. They want to read about revival. You know what revival is? Revival is right there in that verse. Revival is the breath coming. And the breath came. And the breath came. See, Ezekiel did as much as he could do, and he reached a point where he could do no more. The bones did all they could do, and they reached a point where they could do no more. God grew the sinew, God put on the flesh, and God covered it with skin. But still, watch this, but still, they're just a standing army of zombies up to this point. They still cannot do what God wants them to do. And so the last thing they needed was the breath. Now, the bones needed the breath of God in order to become the army they were meant to be. That's why your preacher, and by the way, I'm Baptist from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. But I'm also a Baptist that believes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm also a Baptist that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism means what? What's the word baptism mean?
You know, this isn't spooky language. This isn't spooky stuff. You ever been completely immersed? You know, that's amazing. They talked about in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody, in the New Testament being filled with it. Acts talks about both, being filled and come upon. Now, wait a minute. When do you get the breath, folks? Hello? When do you get the breath? Do you get a cut in front of preaching and get the breath? You get it cut in front of responding to preaching and get the breath? You get it cut in front of unity and get the breath? I want some of you husband and wife teams to go home and make a decision tonight. And I'm not goofing around, and I'm not being funny. I want some of you husband and wife teams to go home and sit down and look each other in the eye and say, we are done. We are done showing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with the spirit of who can we get into it this week with. That's a wicked, hellish mentality. We are so done with that. We're going to stop showing up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church just looking for who is going to say or do something so that I have a justification to be offended. We are going to stop that. And it's completely out of our home from this day forward. No more negative things are ever going to be said in this house against a member of the church or the pastor of the church. We are done with that nonsense. We are done with that filth. Because we'll never get the breath because we can't get to the unity. I'll tell you what, while you're having that meeting, why don't we just get involved in the organization? Why don't we just catch the vision? Why don't we just immerse ourselves and our family into the ministry? And then if you see a collective group of people, and by the way, even a core group of people do that, God's so merciful. It's amazing. All of a sudden you see the strength and the health and the protection begin to come upon the assembly and upon your own individual lives. But folks, listen to me. We're not done. There has to be in the congregation, there has to be in the local assembly, a hunger for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now we're going to graduate studies here. Say, Jesus told us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, he did say that. But he said this. He said, let me read it. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. What's the army need? It needs breath. It needs the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. This is not talking about praying for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. That happened when you got saved. It's talking about the fullness of the Spirit of God. You know what? When the church needed deacons, you know what God's instruction was? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. First thing he said is, find people that's got the breath. Find people that's got the breath. Okay, so, preacher, how do you know who does and doesn't have the breath? Well, one thing I can do is I can go through the steps leading up to the breath. And that doesn't mean they got the breath, but I guarantee you they don't got the breath if they don't have the stuff leading up to the breath. Okay. We need, and we're going to have to do it, and I have said this before, and I haven't done it. I'm waiting on God a little bit here. But I've got the greatest deacons in the world, but I have aged deacons. Brother Don's got to put a prayer request in. He's going through physical problems. Brother Charles got physical problems. The only one that's still in the strength of youth is Bob Townsley. And Brother Bob don't say much about it, but Brother Bob's struggling. And Brother Jack, he doesn't say much about it, but he's got things going on. I'm going to have to find a group of young men that I can partner with these older, wiser men. And some of you are already thinking about starting your campaign. Vote for me. Because all you care about is a title by your name. All you care is about some title. To be able to say, well, I'm now a and you don't get it. You don't have the faintest idea. Matter of fact, you just disqualified yourself. Because the fullness of the Holy Spirit never brings a person to pride. It always brings them to humility. And we do, but we do. We need some young men. You don't have to know everything, but you do have to be honest. You've got to be honest report and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And this isn't a popularity contest. I don't care what your stinking last name is. I just need some spirit-filled young men that'll get serious about this thing and get the power of God on you and be honest, be clean, be decent, and have the wherewithal, the ability for me to be able to hand you a job and you not make five families in the church mad that I got to go fix a problem later on. Okay, to have some wisdom, to carry out some things and do some things right. So you get that?
If the church isn't to the breath point, then the church has no deacons. If the church can't get to the breath point, the church has no future preachers. Okay, if the church can't get to the breath point, we can't produce preachers' wives.
Because the biggest disaster in the world is for a spirit-filled young man that's called to preach to marry some carnal gal. She'll take him out of the ministry. She will. She'll take him out of the ministry every time.
I mean, if there's not spirit fullness, what is there? If there's no breath, there's no life. There's no breath, we can't march.
I mean, folks, listen to me. That day of Pentecost, I want to remind some of you that are new here, and you study it out. I dare you. I preach this. I teach this. I will not back off on this because it's Bible. They did not pray down the Holy Spirit that day. Jesus came the day he raised from the dead, went into the upper room and looked at them and breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Amen. That's when they received the Holy Spirit. So what were they praying for, preacher? They were praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit until they were endued with power from on high. We look at this day of Pentecost thing like it was some first-time event that could never be replicated, and it wasn't a first-time event. It was a pattern for the Church of Jesus Christ. Give me 120 people that'll get on their face till they're endued with power on high, spirit-filled, and let me show you a miracle. I'm talking about spooky things. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I do not believe in the charismatic definition of speaking in tongues. It's unbiblical. The tongues are defined in Acts chapter 2. The law of first mention. Where it's first mentioned, it'll be properly defined, and you use that definition for the rest of the time it's mentioned. Okay, so I'm not talking about being slain in this. I'm not talking about this foolish. I'm talking about this Benny Hinn garbage. I'm talking about saved people that are already indwelt with the Spirit of God, getting on their face and saying, "Dear Holy Spirit of God, you are in me, but you do not have full control of me." And take some time. It didn't happen in 10 minutes. It happened in 10 days. They had to empty themselves of self and sin. They had to probably get some things right amongst them. Okay, don't think there were some hard feelings and conflict after the way the disciples behaved themselves during the whole crucifixion episode? You don't think there was some pointing of the fingers? Well, you blasphemed him three times. Well, you took off and didn't even follow from afar. At least I didn't. You know, there had to be some things sorted out. But they said, "You know what? There's something more important than our petty differences and our sin and our self. There's a command from the Savior that says, 'You know what? I'm coming back soon. You know what? You got to get out there and you got to win souls and you got to obey the Great Commission. But wait, don't go running out there trying to obey the Great Commission. You go to Jerusalem first and you wait there. You tarry there till you're endued with power from on high." Now, folks, Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs a lot of things, but we certainly need the breath of God. We need the Holy Spirit of God. And folks, that doesn't necessarily come on a group corporately. I think at times it has, and we see in the book of Acts that it did. But folks, it did because everybody in that group made an individual decision. Made an individual decision. Man, I talk about this stuff, and I know people think, "Brother Jerry, come on, aren't you glad what's happening here?" I am glad what's happening here. But my job's not to be satisfied. My job is to bring before the congregation the ultimate pattern that the Bible presents to us and said, "Hey, if this is happening," watch this, don't get mad at me, "if this is a happening and most of us are a mess, wonder what would happen if we actually got on board." Amen, amen, amen.
you might just see an actual, genuine Holy Spirit revival right here in southern Indiana. Not so we can thump ourselves in the chest and talk about what we were a part of, so God could break through and do something supernatural. Okay? So we praying for the breath. Now let me finish, and I had more verses, but you get the idea. This army, I believe, represents for us today. I know in the Old Testament it was a vision of Israel. It's still a vision of Israel. I get it. But there is not just prophetic application, there's practical application. This army, I believe, for us today represents a picture of the great multitude of local church bodies. Think about this word, by the way, folks. I've said it several times tonight. Local New Testament assemblies. You think about that word? Assemble. Assemble. As in, we're not a bunch of scattered bones laying all over the place. As if we are assembling. Now, I want you to think about this. This wasn't one person, one skeleton. This was an army. You know what I think that represents? I don't think that represents all the members of a congregation. I think that each one of them represent a body. Because each one was a body. Now, you think about this. Man, this is exciting. There is no reason that the Church of Jesus Christ should be failing right now. As many churches as we have strewn across this country, and I know that there's supposed churches and pretended churches and churches that are not churches, but I'm talking about Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches that are strewn across this great country of ours. And I think, good night, what would happen? What would happen if every assembly individually decided, let's do what the Bible said? I mean, let's just to say we were a part of it and just see, we say we saw what happened afterwards, let's just lay every bit of nonsense off to the side and let's just do it. Okay? I believe this army represents for us today a picture of a great multitude of local church bodies, local New Testament assemblies with, listen, this is the elements, with a called, Spirit-controlled pastor with a clear vision and a willingness to preach the words of God, and an assembled body of believers who respond to preaching, unify together, properly organized, and are blessed with spiritual strength and spiritual health and sanctified protection, then who go out, march out, as they, oh wait a minute, who seek both individually and collectively the breath of God upon their lives and upon their church, and that's when they become an army. You say, preacher, wait a minute, that's not hard, why isn't it happening? Can I just go backwards? You want to flip all the coins over? Potential prophets who refuse to answer the call of God. Preachers who are more flesh-driven than spirit-controlled. Preachers who fail to seek a biblical vision for what God wants the assembly to be. Preachers who are afraid to preach, thus saith the Lord. Hey, I'll tell you, it needs to, the first responsibility of the mess the churches are in lays right here in the pulpit. It lays right here in the pulpit. There's a lot of churches that don't have any of that. But wait a minute. Suppose they do. What's the problem then? Congregations not willing to respond to preaching? Congregations who refuse to unify, refuse to come together for a common cause? Congregation who fight order and organization? Congregations who then forfeit, as a result of those decisions, spiritual strength, spiritual health, and spiritual protections? Congregations who see no value in pursuing this fullness of the Holy Spirit? So instead of armies, oh, this is sad. United States of America, what a mess we are. Instead of armies, instead of hundreds of thousands of armies in every individual community marching out and impacting that community for Christ, instead we have hundreds of thousands of churches comprised of compromising preachers trying to keep happy piles of dry, disjointed, dry, and dusty bones. Someone come to me, Brother Jerry, can American see revival? Yes. But first, the local churches of America must experience that revival. Let's bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use, dear God, the scriptures, use the message, use the Bible principles in our life. Your Holy Spirit of God, please, please. You told Ezekiel to preach, come four winds, come breath, breathe upon these that they may live. Breathe upon these that they may live. Lord, I pray that. I pray that. Lord Jesus, help us. Help us. Not just Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I pray for every Bible preaching church in America. But Lord, we can't control what happens outside the walls of this church. All we can control, all we can be a part of, or all we can influence is what happens in our local assembly. And so I pray, Lord, that you would breathe on us. Make us breath worthy. And then breathe on us so that we can see the supernatural, the miraculous, the unexplainable. Please, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name.